Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and this study of Hosea chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com. Or you can mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin our study of Hosea chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. This is part 1 of 2. Into the current events update. We have what I call the yard sign wars. Now, we have these like every election. But this recent last 6 months, it's not about elections. There's very few. Once in a while, you'll see signs out there for someone who's running for something. But here in central Ohio, it's splattered with yard signs like this one. We believe, it says, Black Lives Matter. No human is illegal. Love is love. Women's rights are human rights. Science is real. Water is life. And then small print says, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Now, some of those might sound all right, but you have to ask, what do they mean by those? For example, when it says Black Lives Matter, that's a slogan of a Marxist anti-Christ organization that hates you. And it is a racist organization. And we played the clip, I think, last week, where one of the founders said that the founders are trained Marxists. Then it says, no human is illegal, and that's a satanic perversion of the language. Of course, we don't believe the human is illegal, but we believe that a human who comes here illegally is committing a crime. Amen. The act of being here illegal is a crime, and the government has the duty to protect our borders. Love is love. Of course, that's a sodomite thing, and they're trying to make you believe that when a man is with a man and a woman's with a woman, it's love. Well, that's not love. Women's rights are human rights, and what they're talking about is the right to butcher little babies in the wombs of the mother. It is a wicked, diabolical, nasty, disgusting human being who defends that. Science is real, and what they want you to believe that what they believe is science, and that what you believe isn't. And the reality is, the once upon a time there was nothing and it exploded, Big Bang Theory is not science. The evolutionary theory is not science. The idea that there's more than two genders is not science. And so then the last thing there, water is life, is kind of a not 100% sure. It's according to the person who put the sign out there what they mean by that. Some mean that because there's water outside of the Earth's atmosphere, then there's life outside, and we're all just part of the whole panspermia thing with the aliens and all that. That's what some of them believe. Others are just promoting the idea that we need to spend more money to dig wells and things in places like Africa. And I'm like, hey, man, hey, I'm all for that. But you know what? You should spend your own money. And they want the U.S. government to give them billions of dollars to dig wells. And they're always, it's just like in the Bible. You remember when Joseph dug the wells and then someone else came and stole them, yeah. And happened to Isaac and Jacob, you know. And that's what's going on in places like Africa. We spend the money to dig the wells and then the Muslim dictators and others go over and take them over. So I came up with, that's me, myself, and I, came up with this response. We believe all lives matter. Lust is not love. Feminism is for lesbians. Illegal is illegal. Liberals hate science. And Jesus is the Lord. I actually bought two signs for my front yard. Did. I'll show them to you. Oh, well, I can send you a copy of it in your text. I don't know how you'd make that a bumper sticker. It'd be awful. Yeah, I looked it up, and there's several different takes on that, the water is life thing. But meanwhile, Ohio rhinos, like John Kasich and his friends, and never Trumpers, continue to work to destroy the GOP. The Republican Party in Ohio is in serious trouble. And you can start by thanking John Kasich. He's a scumbag. He's a liar. He claims to be a Christian, and he's not. He's an apostate. And by the way, I don't know if I put the thing up here, so I'll say it here and I'll say it again if it's up there. But he's going to actually be giving a speech in support of Joe Biden at the Democrat National Convention. Well, Ohio House Speaker and a pro-Biden Republican was arrested, I guess it was last night, yesterday, in a $60 million bribery investigation. Householder. Ohio House Speaker Larry Householder. And a pro-Biden Republican, Matt Borges, I think that's how you say that name, were arrested Tuesday morning in connection to a $60 million bribery case. Borges was the co-founder of Right Side PAC, a Republican group pushing disaffected GOP voters in battleground states to vote for Joe Biden in November. Wow. My message to Matt Borges... You lying thief, you're getting what you deserve. If you support the left of this country and Joe Biden, you should have been an honest man and been a Democrat to begin with. John Kasich, you're a lying thief and you should be in jail yourself and you should be a Democrat, just to be honest. Borges was formerly the chairman of the Ohio Republican Party. You wonder why the Ohio Republican Party is in such a mess. It's because the leadership are corrupt. That's why you hear me all the time. I don't talk about the Republican Party. I voted for Donald Trump. I didn't vote for a Republican. Donald Trump could have been in the pig party. I would have voted for him. You know, he could have brought back the old Whigs and I would have voted for him. He could have been a libertarian or an independent or whatever. I'll even say this. It don't ever happen this side of the rapture, but... If he'd have been a Democrat, I would have voted for him. Yeah. If he had espoused his views, but Householder was more subtle, only name-dropping Trump when politically expedient. He one time made an ad with it where he shot a shotgun and acted like he's a big gun rights guy, and he says, "You know, these Trump haters and gun grabbers are coming after me." You know, and that's why he never really endorsed Trump. If you go on, for lack of a better website, there's a list, and I don't recommend Wikipedia across the board, but this, I believe, is trustworthy because I checked it out as best I could. You look at the list of Donald Trump's presidential primary endorsements, no Larry Householder. You look at Donald Trump's presidential campaign endorsements, no Larry Householder. And then you can look up the articles from 2016. This is one from the Columbus Dispatch. Quote, "Most Ohio GOP leaders still behind Trump. No Larry Householder." That tells you something. No Larry Householder. That's kind of like a political ad. These people are a cancer. They're godless. They don't care about the unborn. They don't really care about your gun rights. They don't care about anything but their own political careers. And they're killing the work of real patriotic conservatism in Ohio. Satan is using these people to keep us from protecting the unborn, from protecting homeschoolers, from protecting gun rights, from protecting freedom. And that hurts Christians and Christian families. Look at Jude as we close up this current events update. This is what came to my mind when I was thinking about these rhinos. Rhino means Republican in name only. R-I-N-O. And you look at Jude, we don't have time to expositorily dissect the entire little epistle, but beginning verse 11, it says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. That's exactly what these guys are. They're crooks and they're all about money.
Amen.
Verse 12, these are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. And go ahead and read 13 with me. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That's exactly what I think of when I think of these guys. So that's your current events update, January 22nd, 2020.
January.
July. I don't know where that came from. By the way, Sunday's going to be Christmas in July. And then the day after that, there's only 150 days left till Christmas.
If we have a country where it's celebrated by then.
Well, we either celebrate it here or celebrate in glory. Amen. All right, we're in Hosea 8. We're going to go through verses 1 through 7. And we urge everyone to have a King James Bible.
Amen.
Not a new King James, but
Amen.
The blessed old book.
Amen.
By the way, David Daniels has written another book on the new King James issue. We'll be getting a copy of that for our library soon.
Amen.
I think he's basically comparing it to a doorway drug.
Yeah.
It's like gets people in the... Yeah. So, we now begin our study of Hosea chapter 8 with verses 1 through 7, as I said. So if you would, read the odd verses with me. That would be 1, 3, 5, and 7. You laugh, but I see. All right, so let's read, beginning of verse 1. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings. You laugh, but I see. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also. The workman made it. Therefore it is not God. But the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up. And all God's people say amen.
Amen.
I love that. Just to mention that last verse, if you go back, there's at least a couple of our messages in years past. I've talked about that verse 7. We had a preacher who didn't preach expository, and he would throw out verses like this, and he would get real. He'd take off his glasses, and he'd say, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. Did that work?
Oh,
is that right? I never remembered what he... you okay?
Yeah.
You all right? Only heart attack. But we begin in verse 1. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord. This is not in reference to the second coming. This is a reference to judgment. And judgment that was coming on Israel by Syria. And whenever you'd be under attack... these days, we don't use trumpets. But back then, that's how they let everybody know. And, of course, according to what era and what army. But I remember I'd get so excited when I was watching those John Wayne movies back when he was in the, he'd be in that blue Yankee uniform and fighting Native Americans, and he would, they would get that trumpet, you know, and I always thought, I'd love to be the guy playing the trumpet, but he always gets shot. You ever notice that? So, the eagle in prophecy represents Gentile powers. So he's saying, set the trumpet to thy mouth, he shall come as an eagle. It's talking about the Syrian that's going to come down, the Syrian army. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Of course, when we see that, as Thomas Jefferson, who I don't believe is a Christian, but he made a very interesting comment that he said, when I think that our God is just, it causes me to tremble for my country. What would he say now? So look over here. I want to show you this in Ezekiel. Very interesting thing about this eagle in Scripture. In it's always in prophetic scriptures. In is what I'm speaking of here. In prophecy, the eagle represents some Gentile power, and it seems to have a direct reference to Babylon and Mystery Babylon. Ezekiel chapter 17, verse 3. Kim, are you there? No pressure. Yeah, read verse 3.
And say, thus saith the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings, long wing, full of feathers, which had divers colors, came into Lebanon and took the highest branch of the cedar.
Now you see there, he's prophesying this great eagle. And it's coming unto Lebanon, which is north of Israel today, but was part of Israel at this time as part of the northern kingdom. And now look at verse 12, same chapter. And Kim, if you would read that.
Say now to the rebellious house, know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon has come to Jerusalem, and have taken the king thereof, and the prince thereof, and led them into with him to Babylon.
Now that eagle is who?
Babylon.
Yep. Babylon is that eagle.
Yep.
The Gentile power of Babylon, which of course in the end times it'll be Mystery Babylon out of Rome, but it's still referred to as Mystery Babylon, and the reference there, Old Testament prophecies, but also in the New Testament. We see the same thing. Look over Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and verse 28. And Jenny Miller, when you get there, would you read Matthew chapter 24 and verse 28?
For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together.
Now, most Christians I've ever talked to have no idea what that means. And when you look at the commentaries and things, they just skip it. But it's really obvious, I think, if you compare it, Scripture with Scripture. Remember what you just heard there and turn over to Revelation chapter 16. And remembering, we've already established in two places, which I think is enough to make the point, that the eagle in prophecy is Gentile, a Gentile power. And Jesus says, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And he's talking about Israel. And he's talking about Israel being under attack. Who's Israel under attack by? The Gentile nations. Under Antichrist. The leadership of Antichrist. Yeah. Now look at Revelation 16, 12. And we're going to read a few verses just for context. It says, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. These kings of the east are what? Gentiles, right? Okay, Jenny Albaugh, if you're there, would you read verse 13?
All right. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet.
And continue verse 14 then.
They are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty.
And Jesus said, where the carcass is, the eagles will be what? Gathered. Verse 14 says that these frogs, there are spirits working miracles and going forth unto the kings of the earth to gather them
to the battle.
Isn't that something? Jill Albaugh, if you're there, can you read verse 15?
Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked. And they see his shame.
And now 16, go ahead.
And he gathered them together.
He what?
He gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon.
It just so happens what Jesus talked about in Matthew 24 is, the carcass is Israel. Two-thirds are going to be killed. We're going to see this in just a minute again. The remaining remnant is on life support, crying out to God. And who's coming against them? The eagles, the Gentile nations. And where's it going to happen?
Armageddon.
Isn't that something? So back in Hosea, I just want you to see this. Go back to Hosea there in chapter 8. Mark that. And what you see in the new versions is they destroy this biblical truth. If you change eagles to something else, then you destroy the references. The best commentary on the Bible is what?
The Bible.
Okay, well, if you destroy the cross references, you destroy that commentary. And Jenny Albaugh, as you chew on that delicious looking, what is that? Cupcake. I just saw the chocolate. What did you say that your survey says?
Vultures.
They changed it to vultures. They change an eagle, which in prophetic scripture refers to the Gentile nations. The new Bible versions destroy your ability to get that. There's the ESV, which many of the churches around here, including some that used to use the King James Bible, have changed to perverted Bibles and changed specifically to the perverted ESV. And they change it to set the trumpet to your lips, one like a vulture.
No, they're not the same.
How many of you knew that the state, the official bird of the United States is an eagle or a vulture, you know? yeah, we could have had a vulture for president if Hillary would have won, eh? Yeah, Joe?
Well, what's funny, too, instead of it's a whatever against the husband of the Lord, it is
over. Yeah, they pervert. Perversion upon perversion. Layer upon layer. So, the Syria as a nation is an eagle. And Syria comes against Israel, and only then Israel suddenly gets religion. Look at verse 2. Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Just reminds me of those times where, we watched a Monk episode yesterday, and you know his half brother is accused of killing a woman when he was breaking out of prison, and he shows up and he's not had anything to do with Monk, and they don't have any relationship at all. But he was desperate, and Monk's the guy to get him off because he's the great Sherlock Holmes type, you know, character. And his brother's like, but we're brothers. And Monk said, half. He says, well, I'm rounding up.
Sure.
But that don't work with God. It just don't work with God. And in Israel's case, it's too late. When Israel is under attack by Syria, it's too late. Later, when Babylon comes down on the southern kingdom, it's too late. Jeremiah is given the wonderful task of telling them it's too late. And he tells them, and if you run, God will hunt you down and kill you in Egypt. What a ministry. So there is a point of no return. And that's especially true when this life is over. So I want to establish that. Purgatory, of the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church, is a lie. There is no second chance. In Matthew 7:23, Jesus said, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. They didn't get saved and lose it. You're either saved or you're not. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. There's no second chances. So we look at it in verse 3. We'll come back to that. I want to come back to that. I just want to lay that groundwork down that after this life there's no second chance. But there's also some people who go too far before they're even dead. Verse 3, Israel has cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. Of course, the thing that is good is the law of God. These are apostates. And it is with a breaking heart, and really it's been going on for 30 years, that I've watched people who profess to be Christians, who, as Paul said, they are now enemies of the gospel of Christ, enemies of the cross. And these, and I'm talking specifically about people who were once true Christians as far as we could tell, who once seemed to be the real deal, and now gone. And this has been going on for generations by this time. When we read this in Hosea, it's been going on for generations. So in verse 4, that's why he says, they have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made idols, that they may be cut off. And as we said earlier, not everybody today is making little idols and bowing down to them. But listen, anything man sets up in replacement of God's truth is an idol. Anything set up in the replacement of God's truth is apostasy. It is foolish. And this began immediately after God gave Jeroboam the throne. Now, you remember Solomon died, Rehoboam became king over all Israel. And then he took the counsel of the young punks, the millennial generation of his day. Amen. And that's what caused the kingdom to split. And that division then produced a northern and southern kingdom. And God gave that kingdom over to Jeroboam. And yet, Jeroboam turned right around and within a moment's notice forsook God. It's an amazing thing as you read it and you pay attention to what you're reading. Look over in 2 Chronicles. And we read this. If you're following along our... I want to pitch that way. You turn there. 2 Chronicles chapter 11. Go ahead and turn there. I'm really loving this. I had followed other reading programs, including just starting in Genesis and reading through Revelation. And my brother cuz, Kurt Miller, said something one time two or three years ago on Facebook about how he was following a program where he's going Old Testament and back to the New Testament.